Hello, this is Daryl here, sending love as always. Thank you for tuning in. I just want to say, if you like this interview, you can check our website for companion workbooks, action guides, tools, checklists, templates, and show notes with links for everything mentioned on the call. Just visit bestbusinesscoach.ca. That's best, B-E-S-T, businesscoach.ca. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Daryl Urbanski, and welcome to the Best Business Podcast. My mission is to help create 200 new multimillionaire business owners. How? You'll do better when you know better. In my interviews, you'll hear from self-made millionaires, seven-figure business owners, authors, and world-class experts sharing how they did it so you can too, without experiencing the same obstacles they did. Now, if you like this interview, please share it with a friend you think will benefit. They'll appreciate it, and I will as well. You can also connect with me on social media. Look for Daryl Urbanski, D-A-R-Y-L, Urban Ski, U-R-B-A-N-S-K-I, and add me so we can be friends. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy what I've prepared for you right here, right now. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we're joined by a very special guest, a good friend of mine, Daniel Taylor. He is the owner and founder of LiveOffBeats.com as well as LuxuryLoops.com, where he helps producers make a living off their music and then they sell them beats and other tools to help them make it. So again, he's a longtime friend of mine. This is a guy we've been going back and forth for years. It's an honor and a pleasure to have him on the show. Daniel, thank you for joining us today. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me as well, man. I really enjoy your podcast and the big heavy hitters you have on there. So I'm just honored to be interviewed.
Yeah, don't be so humble, man. Don't be so humble. I know he might seem humble, but this guy is crushing it in his business. So, yeah, so first of all, so I know a bit about you. Like I said, I just introduced you, right? You sell beats or you sell loops and beats and tools to help people make music. And then you teach producers how to make a living off their music. You've got a pretty nice automated business. You're big into automation like I am. You've been doing really well for yourself for a long time, but you didn't start off doing this. So how did you even get into entrepreneurship?
Well, actually, I got fired from my job at the warehouse when I was 19. Okay. I didn't go to college. So I wasn't going to get any type of corporate job. And so I just had a decision to make. Like, you know, I was doing music. I was a music producer. I loved music. I had no income coming in because I was fired. And I went actually and became a salesman, you know, door-to-door salesman. I always enjoyed selling. So I sold Kirby vacuum cleaners door-to-door. And a guy sent me an ebook. This was, man, I was 19, so this had to be maybe back in 2006, maybe 2006. It was an ebook called The Rich Jerk. And in this ebook, he taught you how to, like, use Google AdWords and basically become an affiliate and sell stuff online and make money. Now, of course, he sold the dream that, you know, I'd be in my drawers making millions of dollars and whatnot. So I just actually applied what he said in the book and I actually made some money. Not a whole lot of money, but, you know, I made $90 one day. And, you know, I had never made money outside of having to work, whether it was go sell somebody or go get paid by the hour. So I was amazed that I actually made some money over the internet and the money was in my bank account. So that kind of opened the door for me, like, okay, well, what is all this? You know, I mean, people are spending money. Like I said, this is 2006, so today it's so prevalent. You know, everybody, you buy things on the internet. There's all these different types of, you know, payment processors and all this stuff. But back then it was fairly new, right? Google AdWords was just coming out. You know, people were still really skeptical, and not a lot of people had their business online yet and were actually making money independently. So that's kind of like what opened the door. And I just kept researching, you know, how to actually make money and how to build a business. And that led me to writing my first ebook called Producer's Guide to Riches, where I just taught producers how to sell their music online using the same marketing tactics that I was learning on the marketing end. So it was just basically merging the two things that I love to do already. And that ebook turned into an empire, you know, where we launched over 45 products, audio, video products, live streams, branched off to other companies like TraumaDrums.com, which made a bunch of money, LuxuryLoops.com, and just a lot of other things in music production niche now, was that 8, 9 years later.
That's awesome. So then how did you, I mean, along the way, when did you start getting into automation? When did that become a prevalent thing? Because a lot of what you do is automated. I know that. I know you like to have the products done before you sell them. Some people, we've even had some guests are like, don't make the product, just sell it first and then make it. I know you're in the other school of thought. You want to make the product first. You don't have to worry about it. Set it up, have it automated as much as possible and go. So when did you get your first taste of like automation freedom?
Okay, so automation came when it was a guy named by the name of Jermaine Griggs that we both know. He had a course called Nitty Gritty Marketing that came out around maybe 2007, 2008. And, you know, before I would say I was hustling on the internet. That means that I was doing these different things, making some money, but just, you know, maybe put an ebook here, maybe put an ad here. And so I was hustling, but no real cohesive business, you know, that made money day in and day out, month in and month out. So once I went through his membership, you know, I opened my eyes to autoresponders and you know, setting it up to where people get emails and promotions, you know, 10 days, 30 days down the road, even after they sign up, and building that relationship. So that was the biggest thing I learned going through Nitty Gritty Marketing, was that, for one, you can set up your promotions in advance to where, hey, somebody signs up today, they're getting promoted 30 days down the road, so it's almost set it and forget it. And two, building a relationship with these people, so that way they buy from me over and over and over again. And like, I have clients that been with me since 2007 that purchased even to this day, and that's 8 years ago. So I got clients that have been with us 8 years and still purchase every single thing that comes out.
I love that. So first of all, let's just recap, because some of the people, they'd be like, a lot of my audience might already know, but an autoresponder, you're not talking about like when I email you and you're on vacation, I get an email back right away saying, hey, I'm out of the office. You mean like these software tools like Infusionsoft and MailChimp and AWeber and Constant Contact and all these other ones that they've got, NetAtlantic, where you can schedule like a series of emails, 10 emails, 30 emails on any sort of delay timer you want, right?
Exactly. Yes. Those software. I think I was using One Shopping Cart at first. That's the one that I was using back then.
Back then. Got it. Yeah, sorry, I kind of fed you that question. That was like a leading question. But some people, I know for me, it was a huge aha. And then I went crazy and I started automating everything in my business. I had like a new customer welcome automation, like autoresponder. I had autoresponder for any and every purpose I could think of in my business. So that's huge. That's so huge. So, all right. So you launched online, you made some money. What really kind of helped you break through? Like, you talked about how you learned some marketing strategies and tactics. You made a little bit of money, but not like any kind of money you could really live off of, or, you know, nothing big. Like you said, making money day in, day out. So what made the difference? What did you figure out that made it for you? What was the defining thing?
Okay, I would say that I'll give you the principle and then the action. So the principle that I learned was building a relationship with people. You know, before I was a Kirby door-to-door salesman, so that was just knock them out, bust them over the head, you sell right now, or you're done. So I came from that school, right? I was a door-to-door salesman. So learning that, hey, even if I don't make the sale right now, what's important is a long-term relationship with this person, where if I continue to add value to them, that in the future, like I said, I got guys who, this is no lie, that buy things today and say, hey, man, I've been on your list for 2 years. I'm just now buying something. But it's because you continue to follow up with me. So that was the biggest turning point, is when I learned that it was about building a relationship instead of the first-time sale. And I learned that from Jermaine. Now, in action, I believe that I'm one of the pioneers in video marketing, because what I did was I switched everything very early. This was in the beginning of YouTube. I switched everything and started doing video. So instead of where everybody was still writing articles, they were doing, you know, different things, I was just started hammering people with video. So I put out, you know, 30, 40 videos in a matter of 2 weeks, right? So now I put up on my YouTube channel 200 videos, and I was sending out video emails, emailing them and saying, hey, check out this video content, as opposed to just putting all the content in the email or sending them to just a blog post. Everything was to a video, which I learned was making them feel more connected with me and like they knew me, right? Because now they're seeing me and hearing me talk. And so that was, to me, the biggest action step that I did that changed the dynamic of my business, because now we have people who are really connected with me and with the personality instead of just, you know, the information.
Got it. Sorry, I'm a writer downer. I was writing that down. I love that. Well, you're right, because, you know, there's so much in communication. the words we use is just a small fraction of it, right? There's the tone of our voice, there's the body language. So I totally get that. So how do you leverage that? Before I even say that, I love what you mentioned about the follow-up, because I actually had an experience like that where I was at a mentor's event and he was talking about the value of your list and following up with your list and nurturing the list. And he even did that. He had everyone raise their hand. Who's been on my list, 1 month? Who's been on my list? Everyone in the audience, put your hands up. All right, if you've been in my list for only 1 month, put your hands down. 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. He got up to 8 years. And there's a guy in the audience that had been on his list for 8 years. And he stand up, said, "What else have you bought from me?" He said, "I haven't bought a thing. This is the first thing I've ever bought from you. It was a $1,500 ticket for a 3-day event." And that was at 8 years after he opted in. 8 years. So the money really is in the list. Amazing. I love that. Yeah. So, right?
That's an amazing story, actually.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, it's the same thing. It's just what you said. So I just want to back it up because it's true. It's following up. It's building relationships. People buy when they're ready to buy, not when you're ready to sell, right? So that's the whole concept behind
that. Exactly.
Yeah.
So exactly.
Stay in front of them. Be the expert on that topic. And then when they need something, they'll come to you. So.
Okay. And I want to say, I forgot, and it's for your listeners. I think it's to help. One of the things, too, that changed every business, and I follow this model, is the amount of free content I started putting out. So that in itself is a game changer. People don't realize it. Like, I wasn't doing one-to-one where, okay, I want to follow up with this email, so I'm going to make this one video. So what I did was, and you see it with Luxury Loose, when we had TraumaDrums.com, a different company, we just put the market with content videos, right? 5 to 8 minutes. We have a formula and everything, and I'll give that to you guys if you want it. But 5 to 8 minute videos, and we just flood the market with videos. And helping them for free, just free content. And that in turn, what I found out was that's how you build a bond that's going to last almost a lifetime. And when I say that, it's because what I found out what people do is they'll go to their YouTube channel, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll go and watch a video. Then the next thing they do is they go and begin to watch another video. And after the third video, if they really like you and really like what you're saying, they'll go through your playlist and just watch every single video. And then when you have somebody who does that, you have a super bond with that person. And again, they'll just start buying anything you say because it's like a special connection there. And again, it doesn't work if you only have 4 or 5 videos. Because you imagine a person that sits there and watches your videos and watches 50 of your videos. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're fully indoctrinated and they feel like they know you. Mm-hmm. And they feel like you're their friend at this point. So, I mean, that's one of the turning points that I discovered. And when a lot of marketers haven't really grasped that yet is, once they watch one video, they're going to watch a second one, a third one. Then after that, if they connect with you, they're going to go through your whole list and watch everything that you have. And the more you have, the more they're going to feel connected to you. And then, like I said, that deep bond, they're going to buy whatever you say, whatever you put out, they're going to buy just because. Even if they don't need it.
Yeah, sometimes because they just want to be involved. I mean, that's not everyone, but there are people, like you say, they're just going to buy because they're interested in what you got. They want more of your content. So
Yeah. It's not everybody, but you'll find your best customer. Like, we have customers that this happens, and this still happens to this day very often, where they'll buy out, if we repackage something, and even though we say this is the same product, they'll just buy it because they say, oh, my bad, I already had that product, but I didn't even look at the sales video. We didn't look at, as soon as you said buy, I just bought it. I didn't even look at what it was. And that happens more often than people think, just because they trust us that much, trust us so much that if I say buy, they just know to go out and get it.
Well, yeah, Oprah's got that effect. They call that, right, the Oprah effect. If she puts something on her show and says everyone needs to get this, people go and get it. So that's awesome. That's so awesome. So that was a huge breakthrough, understanding autoresponders, that you could automate things. You could write emails in the future. You could plan a promotion over a series of days. And then you also, the other breakthrough is building a relationship with people. One, staying in touch with them forever, essentially, but using video to really bond with your people and just producing a ton of free content. Now, aren't you afraid about giving away all the goods? I mean, if you give away all that free content, what are you going to sell people?
Okay, so this is what I've discovered, too. So this is what you have to remember. One, I got it from Evan Pagan when he said moving a free line. He said that, when people see that you have such good free information, instead of them saying, hey, I don't need to buy this, they're going to say, wow, you gave this away for free. Then imagine what I'm going to get when I pay for it. And that's just an automatic economic response because we equate value with money. So if I give you something for free, if I charge you $10 for something, you're going to say, wow, you're going to give me 10 times the value than I already got for free just for the simple fact you're charging me. So that's the first point I want to make, people who are afraid of that. Secondly, we have a formula for the videos, and this is the secret, and this is something that people want to write down. We never really give out the how as much as we give out the what in the video. You understand? So when you have your product, you position your free content so that way they have to buy the product. And here's an example of what I'm talking about. So let's say you have a course on traffic, right? Let's put it in the internet marketing space. Let's say you have a course on getting traffic. Well, we never would do free content on how to get the traffic, right, on what we got in the course. But we would start to say, hey, if your business not making money, that's what they want to make more money, or you want to make more money, here's what you need to do. You need to use Facebook ads, right? Mm-hmm. But we wouldn't tell them specifically that this is how you do the Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. We would tell them what they need to do. And then we say, hey, now if you want to find out how to do it, now come get the course. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Tell them what, sell them how.
Exactly.
I like that. Tell them what, sell them how. Yep. Nicely done. Okay.
And I'll give you our special formula for videos. This works. We've done this on multiple channels. Most people who do videos, I find the mistake they make is they do nothing but education. So I have the three E's for all of our videos. So every one of our videos includes these three E's. It works in any niche. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Most people focus on education. That's one E you need to have in your video. But the three E's are called enlightenment, education, and entertaining. So whenever I have, because I have other people who do videos for our channel as well, we always do these three E's and we put every video to the test. Enlightenment, educate is what most people do when they do videos for their content. That means that I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to educate you on something. Or if you went to school, right, they did nothing but educate you.
Right.
Now, what happens when you watch an educational video? You fall asleep probably after about 3 minutes, right?
Right.
So you have to have an element of entertainment, something that, you know, it doesn't mean you have to be a clown, but it has to be an entertaining video, whether you tell a story along with it, whether it's your voice inflections. Like for me, I do a crazy character where I scream, and I'm almost like a drill sergeant in my videos, right? That's because it has to have an entertainment element to it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, people won't watch it. They won't watch more videos. Mm-hmm. More people watch entertainment videos than they do educational videos, right? There's a reason why Britney Spears' video on YouTube would be 10 million views, right?
Right.
And then you have to enlighten them. Now, when you enlighten them, this is a secret to where getting people hooked to where they're your follower. Because enlightenment means that you get them to feel like it's possible for them to do whatever it is you're saying to do. So that means that if they're, let's go back to the traffic example. They're trying to increase their business by getting more traffic. Innately in people, we kind of feel like, yeah, I can't do all that. Like, I can't do it, right? It's like, yeah, you can do it, but I'm not smart enough. Or I don't. So when you make them feel and be like, no, you can do, almost like a pep speech, a motivation, like, no, you can do it. You can do this. And you get them to feel like it's possible for them. Now you have a complete video where you're going to get a follower and a customer. And so you have to be entertaining. You have to have education, and you have to have enlightenment all in your video within 5 to 8 minutes. And now you've got a great video that can bring in customers.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Got it. Good. So that was a writer Danner. So 5 to 8 minute video with three E's. You want to educate, you want to entertain, and you want to enlighten them. Is it in that order?
Yeah, well, it's all in the video. So there's no order. Yeah, long as it contains those elements. Again, if you have entertainment, I would say if you have entertainment without the education, now you just have a fun video, but no one's really going to take you serious, right? If you have education without the entertainment, people aren't going to finish your video. They're not going to want to watch more because you're boring.
Right.
You're putting them to sleep.
Right.
So it's when you marriage, if you have entertainment and education without the enlightenment, what happens is people, they hear you, but they won't take any action because they don't really feel like they can accomplish what you're saying.
Right.
So they're not going to move on it.
Right.
You get what I mean? So you put those three together, that's where the power comes in.
Got it. Yeah. Okay, that's good. I got a couple I want to add for any of the listeners, only because one of our guests we've had before, he mentioned this. This is another podcast with Daryl Eaves. He did two things. First, I just did one. So one, he mentions is you can want to reference other videos because that's almost like your score on YouTube is how many of your videos people watch. I mean, YouTube just wants people to sit on their channel all day, every day. So if they watch one of your videos, skip on and go watch someone else's, it's not as valuable as if they watch one of your videos and watch another. So you should reference your own videos if you can, or previous videos in your own content, just like that one I just did now with the interview I did with Daryl Eves. But it's relevant because the guy is one of only 12 YouTube certified video marketing, or sorry, one of 12, yeah, YouTube certified YouTube marketing consultants in the world. So there's that tip. And the other tip, he didn't have the 3-point system, but the other thing was the first 5 seconds matter a lot. They matter so much. Most people, if they abandon your video, it's in the first 5 to 10 seconds of the video, which is even where there's that ad, there's that skip thing that shows up, because if they can't get you in 5 seconds, you're gone. So a lot of people start their videos with like a branding thing in the beginning. And he says that hurts a lot of people. Like you can still do that, but you need to do that like 15 seconds in, 10 seconds in, because you got to get them hooked somehow in your video. So if people are writing this down, I would include that into Dan's system, because those are two things straight from the horse's mouth, basically straight from YouTube HQ. So that's huge.
No, that's actually great stuff. That's great stuff. And just to piggyback on that, one of the things we do as well is I make sure every person, when they do videos for us, understand that they have to have a hook. The first thing you see when you open the video isn't a brand. It's the hook. Here's why you got to watch this video. You understand what I'm saying? So that comes down to understanding, I think, copywriting. If you understand copywriting, it's the same formula for no matter what you're doing. So you always got to hook them first. So we care about the moment that video comes on, I'm saying something that's going to open a loop and hook them. And so they got to watch this video to find out what the answer is to this hook, or how to do whatever, the secret to this thing. And then we can go into other stuff.
Right. Yeah. And NLP, I think they call that an open loop. Right. You open a question in your mind, but you don't answer it. And that's what gets them to hang out and be there for a while.
Exactly.
Got it. So what were some other stages you've come along in your business? Because it's been a fun ride, man. I know you've had ups and downs, and you know, you've had some really big days. I know you just had your best month ever as well. So it looks like it's just been a steady kind of, not necessarily a straight line, but you've been steadily growing year over year over year. So what are some other milestones that you figured out or came through?
So, well, one, you know, like just, you know, so understand it wasn't a gravy train. You know, one of the businesses that we built, you heard me talk about Trauma Drum for 4 years. You know, me and my partner had a, you know, dispute, and we ended up shutting the company totally down. So that was a company that already we had been building it. It just really got momentum. We were making, you know, we got to about 15, 20,000 for that month. So it was ready to take us off. We had a membership, and that was on a membership site. So we just had put all this content, all this stuff into it, and then it just went away, disappeared. So that was one of the things, you know, I had to recover from that. You know what I mean? That was a hard hit, because we had spent so many years and so much content, so much stuff getting it to where it started to become a staple, a household name. We had over a million YouTube views. We had, you know, tens of thousands of subscribers on YouTube. We had a list of about 20,000 producers. We had probably around 1,000 or so customers, maybe 1,200, 1,300 customers. So it was really starting to grow. We had a product list of about 20 to 30 products. So, you know, that was one of the things that, you know, I had to overcome. And in 2013, we ended up shutting it down, or 2014. And so, you know, that was one of the things that was almost, it could have been devastating, but instead of folding, you know, I just started another company, you know, and that's when we started LuxuryLoops.com, followed the same model, and it worked again. So I duplicated this model that I'm telling you guys three times. This is the third time that I've duplicated that model, and it works every single time. So I'd say that was one of the...
What's the model?
Start with content. Video content, and we build a nice automated follow-up system. Now, let me qualify and say that now we've gotten very, very complicated in our follow-up system, right? So it's not as simple anymore as they sign up in 30 days, you know, every other day they get an email. Now we're tracking everything. If they watch a video, you know, 75%, we follow up with them differently. If they click this, we follow them differently, second survey. So, you know, it's a lot more complicated now than it was then. So, you know, it's not as simple as it was back in 2007. You know, we do really, really complicated stuff on the back end. You know, and that's one I say the turning point as well, is starting to use data as opposed to just following up with everybody the same way. And however you are in your business, whatever type of business you're in, I'm positive that if you start to collect more data and start to follow up with people differently based upon their personal actions and their behavior, then in the way they interact with your stuff and your site, you'll start to get higher conversion. So that was a big deal too.
Right. Yeah, because you might, everyone on this call, you probably have a cell phone, but if you're one of those few people that don't, you still have a phone book somewhere of all your friends and family that, you know, and their phone numbers. And if you go through that list, if you wanted to invite someone to a movie, you can go through the list right away. You can pick out 5-10 people you know that would be good to invite, and 5-10 people that there's no point in inviting them because they wouldn't bother coming. And really, at the end of the day, that's all you're talking about. You're just talking about going, well, I'm not going to invite grandma to go partying Saturday night because that's just a bad, right? Like, that's just silly, right? It's a waste of a text if you had to pay per text. And that's kind of, it sounds like what you're doing, like collect data on them, message the people most likely to respond or most likely to be interested, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So, and of course you're doing complicated stuff now, but I mean, anyone that's listening, if you're just starting out, my advice would be to just keep it simple in the beginning. Keep it simple.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, get it done. You know, good is the enemy of, well, they say good is the enemy of great, but, you know, well done is better than well said. So if it's, you know, procrastination, I forget the quote, but don't be a perfectionist. Well, just get it done.
Well, let me say this to that point. You make a great point. And I think if you're a newer business person, right, I've been doing this now. I've been in business with Live Off Beat for, I guess it's, what is 2000, so 9 years? I keep thinking 2015, but it's 9 years. So, and I know I'm getting old, right? I have multiple businesses, and I'm only 28, dude, I don't know. So I started at 19. So I would give the advice of, you know, like you said, good is the enemy of great, but I never try to perfect anything because I know I'll never get it done, right? I can always perfect it. So I just like, I'm the type of person, I just put it out and then start making it better as it's already out. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what I find that works in terms of a business person that just, look, you want to be successful, you want to start making the money now, but just put it out the way it is. You know, make it as best as you can, but then just put it out. Put your marketing, put your ads out. I find that people have advertising anxiety. That's when, you know, people will pay a copywriter thousands of dollars and they'll make a great piece and they'll never put it out. They'll keep trying to ask for advice and do it. And because they don't, people are afraid of advertising because it's putting your business out there and people have an anxiety about advertising, believe it or not. And so if you're one of those people, which I'm even one of those people, when it comes to locking something off, I still get like this anxiety, right? And I just have to push through it and put it out there to the public and put it out there to my audience and put it out there. So if you're facing that, man, just put it out, you know, and then, like I said, work on it and make it better later.
All right. So, I mean, you've made a great case for video marketing and especially for help using it to help bond with your list. And you gave us a great little formula to use for it. But what about video quality? Because I know for myself, it's actually been on my docket for a while as I want to launch a YouTube channel. I got this great podcast. I think I should do some YouTube sort of thing. But, you know, just the quality of video, having a studio, I get my hair cut, what shirt, all that sort of stuff. I mean, how do you do your videos? Do you have a whole studio set up? How do you, well, like, what's your take on that?
Okay, so that's a great question. And I've actually done it all. So that's the people that I've hired, camera crews and went on location. I've had an actual video studio in my house where I had the green screen, professional lighting, professional camera. And as well as doing videos just on my iPhone. So I've had a wide range of experience. And here's what we found. It depends on the type of video you're trying to do and the goal of the video. For most people in their businesses, they're trying to connect with their audience. You're trying to connect with what you guys would call it markets. I don't use that term very often. I like to use the term community because you're really – every market has a community, and it's a group of people who are together, have shared like-minded ideas, and it may not be a community where they live next to each other, but they are always together in terms of they're on different forums, they're on different Facebook groups. So you're really trying to connect with your community. Mm-hmm. And what I found is that the videos with the professional lighting and stuff like that, sometimes that's good for us. If you're selling, you want to do a sales video and you want to be clear, but when you want to bond with your audience, it's the quick, hey, this is real quick, and I go by the name Postman. This is Postman. I just want to give you a shout out real quick. I just learned a new tip that I learned about how to sell your beach faster. Man, I was just in the store the other day, and it just hit me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm usually out in public somewhere. I do it while I'm driving, and it makes them feel like you're their friend. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, when you have the professional lighting and all the professional stuff, now you feel like they feel like they're watching a business and they're looking at a business a presentation, which is totally different than if their friend was on Skype, right? Mm-hmm. When your friend's on Skype, they're not in a big, you know, studio Skyping, video calling. They got their webcam on, just flipping it open and saying, hey, what's up, Daryl? Just want to check in with you, buddy. What's going on? How's your life doing? So I like that type of feel, and I found that been very, very effective when we're doing, when we're trying to build relationships with the community. So now I do webcam. I'll just pull my webcam on my laptop, pull it out, and say, hey, what's going on? And again, it makes them feel like they're just, I'm just a friend. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a big business. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? I want to be just a friend. Now, like I said, there's a time and a place for the quality video and all that stuff. I'm not saying that you don't never do that. But for relationship building, I love the quick. And also, it's easier, man. I mean, I remember back in the day, Daryl, it would take days. You know, we filmed 3 videos. I mean, the files were huge. You have to render. You have to upload. All of that. Now, I mean, literally, it's a 20-minute thing, right? I just hit the record button on my laptop or on my iPhone. I upload it right there. And now I have a new video that gets thousands of hits in the next 2 days, and they're commenting and engaging. Mm-hmm. And it's very simple, and not time and labor intensive on my part. So I'm for just a quick, you know, just, well, Frank Kern called them ghetto videos. You know, like, that's what I like. Quick, make them, you know, just feel like you're right next to me. You know, I'm talking right to marketplace. So I don't know if I would tell other people to try that, and that's their first meeting. You know, the people are just now meeting you and you're trying to sell them a product and you just right. have your webcam. Right. But, you know, once you build that rapport, you can do whatever you want. You know what I mean? Pretty much. But right. I would say relationship building videos, videos you're going to be doing your content with, you want them to feel like they know you. So don't just stand in front of a whiteboard. I go out in public. I go out. I'll go to the mall. I'll go drive. I'll be getting something to eat. And say, hey, I just want to say something real quick, give you a quick tip. Like, that's what people, if you look at what celebrities are doing, that's what they're doing now. That are really, really getting high up on the social media mark are the ones that are doing that. Look at Instagram. Instagram is about just quick little videos. No one's doing huge presentations, you know, $1 million video studios on Instagram, but yet people are following these celebrities and they have millions of followers just for them to see a quick little, you know, ghetto video on their iPhone. So right. that's just where we're at today.
Right. I mean, you bring up a great point, and I really do appreciate that. In fact, I remember someone was saying that with we did another interview with a guy, Kim Barrett, and he was talking about Facebook ads, but he also is one of the first that's really dived into Instagram ads. And he was saying that one thing that they noticed really quickly was that the nice polished images, like professional images that maybe you'd use with a Facebook ad, just don't work on Instagram. He's like, it's almost like they have to be ugly. You need like normal looking people. You can't have like a model on there with perfect teeth and all that. He's like, they just don't work. And he was saying that was about, at least at the time of the interview, that was it for Instagram. So it kind of makes sense what you're saying, because people, all things being considered equal, people want to do business with their friends. All things not so equal, people still want to do business with their friends. And so if they feel they know you, know, like, and trust you, it's like you got a sports team, right? You got a favorite player, all that stuff. They don't know you, but you know them, and you've been following their stuff, and you know their whole life story, right? It's kind of the same thing. So that makes perfect sense. Now, do you worry about anything else as far as like with YouTube? Because I know you get a ton of organic YouTube traffic. Is it important to like put your keyword in the headline, or like, is there any sort of optimization stuff people have to like be aware of?
Well, yeah. Well, you want your headline to be very catchy. That's going to be the main thing. Now, the way I get hello organic traffic is if your video has, let's say, 20, 30 views on it, what's going to happen is on the suggested videos, they're only going to show your video with other videos that have 0 to 20 views, right? So that's the way the suggested videos work. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have 1,000 views, then your video is going to show up with on other channels that have on other videos that are getting 1,000, 2,000 views. So one of the secrets that I do to launch it off is I'll email blast my list and say, "Hey, watch this video," and so now it automatically gets a few thousand views. Now it's going to be showing my video and other suggested views.
Right.
And so now that starts to get your views up like crazy.
Right. Plus, it's being more popular faster than the other videos, right? It's getting exactly. views so quickly, they think it's trending. They want to show it. Right.
Exactly.
Got it.
So that's one of the things you can do. So use all your influence, your Twitter, your Facebook, your email list to that one video. And one of the mistakes I see people make is they may upload the video, then they upload the video to Facebook, and they put it on different platforms. You want to make sure the video is on YouTube and then blast it out to your list with the YouTube video, not the, you know, some people put it on their own server and, mm-hmm. and have their own video player. And so what you want to do is make sure it's on your YouTube channel so all your people are watching the video from YouTube and your views are going up. And then, exactly, now it's going to start trending, and that's how you get it up there very quickly.
Got it. Do you use YouTube to build your community, or do you build the community on Facebook?
So ours is on YouTube. Our biggest factor has been YouTube. So we have tens of thousands of subscribers on each of our channels. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I always do, though, is get them off of YouTube and get them onto our list. So every, mm-hmm. you know, in the description box, I'm always like, here, sign up, get your free stuff here. Also, we test selling straight from YouTube. That works great. That really? Works great. If you just, you know, yeah, if you have a video, you're just going in, like I'll be talking and entertaining and giving some education, then I reference one of our products, say, hey, go buy this product. And we track how many sales come from that. Oh, man, it's always, and it's not just one day because people are watching that video constantly throughout the year. So you keep getting these sales from that one video over and over and over again because I don't know, it's something about when they're watching that video, it doesn't feel like a sales video. It almost feels like you're suggesting something that they need. Mm-hmm. If it's positioned properly, right? I want to make sure and qualify that. You know, I've done at least 1,000 videos, and I've also directed hundreds of videos for our people. So mm-hmm. I kind of got it down naturally. But once you get it down, man, you can start just sell right off of YouTube, put it on there, and then you put the link in the description, and people will just start buying off of YouTube.
So do you have
a product that costs hundreds of dollars.
Right. Do you have any tips for anyone? Like what you just said, like when you get it down, do you have any tips for anyone? Like when you coach someone on how to do a sales video and do it right, are there any tips that you'd follow?
Right. So now are you talking sales video or are you talking video?
Sales video. Because content, I think, is easy. Content, you gave us the three E's. That's pretty quick and easy. But if someone's got to do something and they got to sell something, you know, how to, and they're worried about tripping up, what do you usually coach people? What do you tell them when you're coaching them?
Okay, so, and unfortunately, I've had to coach people, even in our business, with these sales videos for us. So I follow the same formula that I'm sure you guys have probably went over a ton of times. I follow the ADA formula, attention, interest, desire, and action. So I follow that basic formula. And so I always, the first thing in the video is always the hook. And I always say and stress that you got to have that strong hook. Mm. You know, you got to reel them in. I want them to feel like I can't live another day without watching this video and getting the answer to this question or finding this thing out right. or whatever it is. You know, that's the most important part. And then another part of the video that's very important is the storytelling. I find that that's where a lot of people drop the ball as well. They go right into, you know, discussing the problem and saying, here's a solution. But I find that immediately after the hook, you want to tell stories. Mm. And you want to immediately start to tell stories that kind of get them to the problem, get them into the issues. One of my favorite intros to a story is like this. Let me tell you how I found this secret out. I start just going into how I came about this situation or how something, I was watching something. Our producer, a lot of times I'll say this too, or I got an email that said, and this producer, so when you try to describe the problem or the issue or the solution, tell it in a story where somebody have asked you the question and then you have to say, wow, man, you know, they're having this problem and here's how I answered it. Because when you start to tell stories as opposed to tell directly to them, their mind starts to place themselves in the story. You get what I mean? So now they become inside of your video instead of being an outsider watching.
Right, they're putting
themselves into it.
Right. And stories put people into a trance. Right. Stories put people into a trance.
Exactly.
Because we're always, since we were a kid, telling stories around the campfire, your parents read you a bedtime story. Once the story begins, it gives you time to get into your pitch and describe everything that's going on. So that's a great tip. That's a really good tip.
And an easy way to do it, just so people can, and so I don't want to be too out there where people is not concrete. So here's the one simple way that I would suggest. Like, let's say if you're, let's go back to traffic. Okay, I'm selling a traffic course. And I'm saying, hey, one way that I see most marketers do it is, hey, are you having trouble getting traffic? Are your sales not going up? So that's one way of doing it, right? But another one is, hey, I got an email from somebody who was in distress and their business wasn't going right. And in fact, they X, Y, Z, and try to make it real, you know, find the, you probably, if you're in the business of helping people, you probably have gotten these type of emails. And then you say, hey, you know, and they were, traffic was up and down and they couldn't really get it consistent. And so, you know, I really wanted to help this person. So I said, you know what, how about you try this? And what I told them to try worked. Next thing you know, their traffic went through the roof. See, I'm saying the same thing, but I'm just telling you the story.
Right.
Now they're engaged.
Right.
Right. You see, I'm saying the same thing. It's just that now I'm putting it in story form
as opposed to directly. Totally saying, hey, under the radar. It's not salesy at all.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the key. Everything is underneath the surface. You know, it's not just in your face. And like when I used to go door to door, which made it hard, right? Everything was just hardcore in your face.
Yeah.
And people are resistant. The first thing they used to say when we knock on doors, the first thing they say when you get in the house is, I'm not buying nothing. Right?
So right.
Their defense is all the way up. So essentially they're doing the same thing when you're on your video and you say, hey, are you having issues with personal things? I'm not buying nothing. Just tell me the free. Tell me what I need to know. I'm not buying nothing. But when you start telling stories, it just starts to drop their guard.
Right, and then they can emulate it because then they can see themselves in the story. Hey, I'm like that guy. Hey, I had that problem. Really? And it worked for him? Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. There's so many different powerful things going on the level. So on so many levels that I always suggest people to open up with stories and find ways to fit what they're trying to say in a story. Like I said, it can be simple as someone emailed me or told me this problem, but just take the person out of it that's watching it so they don't feel like you're just talking at them, but they're engaging in the story and they're putting themselves in it by themselves.
That's great. That's great. A tip. That's great advice. Honestly, that's a great way to articulate story selling. Stories are so powerful. Get them with the hook and then tell them a story where it's just, you know, it's a scenario that they can relate to that describes the problem. And like you said, the AIDA, right? Get their attention and get their interest. Tell them a story that they can relate to. Mention the solution, how the solution came about, why the solution was effective and better than the other options that they had. And then just make the offer. Yeah. And then again, it's just you're making a suggestion to a friend. That's a great, great outline. Now, do you see any mistakes other people are making? Like, are there regular, consistent mistakes you see other people making when you're talking to your friends or other people we know in their businesses? Things that you feel like it could be easily fixed or easily resolved, but they just don't?
Yeah, there are a few mistakes that I find people make. One of the mistakes is they really don't know their trigger points for their community. So a lot of times when people have businesses, they kind of harp on the solution or they harp on the problem, but they really don't know the trigger points of why this person really wants to solve this problem. So one of the things that I found out when I went to the loop, the production market, was I could say that, yeah, our stuff is so much better. Everybody in the marketplace was selling on, we have hot loops. We have hot sounds for producers. We have good sounds for you. Whereas I came and said, you know, if you use our products, you'll gain the respect of your friends and family as a producer. You see, so I knew that as producers, they mostly feel like they don't get respect in society, right? If someone came to you and said, hey, I'm a music producer as a career, you're all like, ah, yeah, that's cool. What's your real job, right? So they get this all the time from their friends and family. So I position our products as, hey, if you get our products, now you'll show your friends and family, you'll prove them wrong when they told you to get a real job, you'll be successful. You get what I mean?
Right.
Knowing exactly what the real triggers are, not just the solution to the problem, right? And so I find that's one of the biggest mistakes. They don't go deep enough into why people really would buy what they're selling.
Yeah, they don't understand the market enough. They haven't spent enough time talking to the people and just surveying. I mean, you mentioned that earlier. We've got a couple of great calls with Ryan Levesque that we did where he's got a survey funnel formula. And if you just even do half of what he talks about, that would get you a ton of info. Survey 500 people in a nutshell. Survey 500 people. You know, make sure you ask the right questions, and that should give you a ton of data. And look at the long answers, because the long answers show you what the passion, or shows you where the passion is, and then tells you what the triggers are. So that's huge. That's a great one. That's a really good one. Do you feel like you've had any habits that have really helped you on your path to being successful, like over the years?
One of the habits I feel like is being consistent with the marketplace in terms of putting stuff out, whether it be content, whether it be – so that's just a habit. Okay, I need to keep putting out new content. We go in and put out new videos, new products. And so that's one habit. The second habit is really not wanting – being lazy was a great habit for me. And I know it sounds weird to people, but because I always wanted to figure out how I could make money without having to really work. That's always been my goal. So once I realized that I was really lazy and I liked being lazy, I didn't care what people said, that I wanted to create systems that would sell for me. Because that was like the main problem. I always had to be doing something. So I learned that, hey, if I create the habit of when I put out a product or an email, whatever I do, think about it in terms of 6 months, 6 years from now, can I get new people into this funnel and they can still buy this product? So that's one of the things I always keep in mind every time I do something. How can I make it to where I can make money off this without doing any more work for the next 6 years? Mm-hmm. Most people don't think like that. Mm-hmm. And so we got products from 2008 that's still in the funnel that still sell to this day. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas some people, like the guru model, a lot of times they have to keep getting new people, keep doing things. I could do literally nothing. I have so many products in the funnel, so many funnels, that I can really do nothing and money's still going to come in. You understand what I'm saying? So that was one of the things that I feel like I was very consistent with not wanting to work, although it took so much work to get it up. Right? You want to be able to make money in your sleep. That's what they sold me on. But in order to get there, you have to do so much more work than everybody. But at the end of the day, now I live that life, right? I can get up and not do nothing for 3 days. I'm still coming in.
Right.
You understand? And very minimal amount of people work. So systems work for me, not necessarily people. And I got one customer service assistant. I got some employees that I use when I need them. But ultimately, things run themselves. And I think that's the biggest thing that I want business owners to think about. Don't think about just getting money this month or today. Think about how you're going to get money 6 years from now. And that's how I build everything.
Yeah, that's really well said. I love that. I love that. Definitely, 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 definitely. So you've got this funnel built up and you've got webinars and you've got video sales letters and you've got other stuff going on that, you know, that'll sell them down the road, 30 days, 6 days, like you said, like 6 years. When you try to add new people to your list, are you trying to monetize them within a certain time frame? Are you just trying to break even within a certain time frame? What's the real plan there?
Okay, so I try to monetize it immediately. So my goal is always, if I spend a dollar, I want to make $2.
Right.
You know, that's my goal.
The same day?
So some people, yeah, just immediately. So once they sign up, we try to sell them. Some people call it a tripwire. Some people just call it a low-ticket offer. So we immediately try to show them an offer.
Right.
If that doesn't work, which, you know, 95% of the time the offer is not going to work, now it's all about relationship building. And there's three keys that I have in my follow-up. The first thing that I follow up with is, welcome to the community. And that's my key thing. I never talk about this is a business. I always say, welcome to the community. And I introduce myself. They say, hey. And then I link them to the other platforms. Say, hey, you can find us on YouTube here. So now be a part of the community. Here's a free product if it was a product. So I always start the indoctrination with, you're a part of something now. That's very powerful. Joe Sugarman talked about that, and I think it was in Trigger. We talked about people really want to be a part of something. So that's the first thing. The second thing I do is now I give them the social proof by saying, hey, check out what such and such said, all these people said, you know what I mean? And I phrase it that not as testimonials and look what people are saying. And that's kind of that puts people's defenses up. So I just say, hey, meet some of the people in the community. But I'm linking them to basically testimonials, basically, right? And so that's what my indoctrination process is. It's about saying, hey, welcome to the community. Just like any other, if you go to church or any type of religion, that's how they get so many people. They don't come in and say, hey, buy this stuff. They say, hey, come on in. You know, come be a part of the community. Come during, you know, night service. Come on Wednesday where we have our fellowship. You know what I mean? So that's really what people are looking for, right? Then once you got you in there, then they just keep charging. I mean, you'll buy everything that's in there. So that's what my funnel consists of. Then once we have them indoctrinated, I split them up into two groups. The first group is the people who've been active and clicking through things, and the second group is people who have not. You know, just basically there, they got the free stuff. So I always split that. And I find that it's generally one of our – in luxury loops is 28% of the people, which is very high for me. 28% of the people are active in the indoctrination. 62 or 72% of the people are not, right? They just got the free stuff and didn't really click. Now, then we focus heavily on those 28%. We start sending them offers very quickly. And you'll find that those people become customers. 80% of those people become customers, whereas the 80-20 rule, right? Only 20% of the people who aren't really active become customers, maybe even less than that. And so that's what our funnel consists of, is get them in the community to find out who's really active, who wants to be here, and who just wants to want the free stuff. And then from there, I have different funnels depending on what they do and how fast they click. And, you know, that's how fast we follow up and different stuff like that.
Yeah. No, man. You've given us some great gems. So let's recap here. For all the listeners, if you didn't have your pen and paper out, shame on you. You guys know I'm always saying keep a pen and paper in hand or something to take notes on. You definitely want to go back and listen to this interview again. I've got like 3, 4, 5 pages of notes. So, this is Daniel. How long have I known you, man? I've known you...
I remember at an Infusionsoft conference, and I remember the conference. Of, you know, we were both trying to get the game from Infusionsoft. You
that's
know
right.
How to really work
we're
it.
Trying to crack that nut. We were working on it. We're like we're gonna get this. One of these days, we're gonna crack. We're gonna be one of those guys up on stage making millions. That's right. Who ever think we'd actually get it? So the model, you talked about your model. First of all, you use video. Why video? Because you can build rapport with people. You talked about how you use just like you out in public, walking around. You use these videos because it's more like they're in your world. They know who you are, where you hang out, you know, where you're at. Hey, just real quick, something popped up. I'm here at the mall. I saw XYZ. You know, hey, I'm shopping with my girl. Here's my girl. Like whatever that is, you're bringing them into your life. You're building that relationship. And you just, your model, like you said, you've done this time and time again, and it's worked really, really well. You just distribute a ton of free content, and then you build a nice automated follow-up system. In that, you track their engagement, and then, you know, and you've got, now you do a lot of advanced stuff, but you use things like surveys, you track time on page, their clicking behavior, all that stuff, and you have data-driven marketing. He gave us tips on how to make the video. I mean, talked about the 3 E's, make it 5 to 8 minutes, using stories, talking about telling them the what, and then selling them the how. We talked about... Yeah, talk about just getting it done and just putting it out there and not worrying about making it perfect either. Just getting it done, getting it out there, and even using it as part of the conversation. Even if you release something and it's not as good as you wish it had been, that's a good reason to communicate with your audience, at least know that you're doing it for a group of people. I actually really like that because I think that's something I see people trip up on a lot. Another thing you talked about is that a lot of people, they don't know the trigger points of why this person really wants to solve this problem, that you got to get to the deeper level and get to understand your people. Talked about when they do a selling video using getting the hook right away, because we talked about that with the video as well, having a hook in the first 5-10 seconds. But then you said in the sales one, you like to use story selling, where then you get into a story of, hey, I have someone, this happened, this was their situation, this was the problem they were facing, this is why it was a problem, here's the solution we came up with, this is why we came with use this solution, not the others, and now this is how you can get involved. So use a story to sell them. Talked about for you, one of your best habits is being consistent in your content and product promotion schedule. So I guess that means releasing a product. If you release a product every 6 months, you release that product at the 6 months, right? If you're releasing a video every week, you release that video every week. And then you talked about, you gave away some of your top secret stuff about how, first of all, when you release a video, how it's got to have a great headline. You make your tags, whatever things your people are looking for, but then you want to get in suggestive videos, so you bump up your video views by syndicating that YouTube video, whether you got a Facebook following or a Twitter following or an email list. You plug it in other places to get its numbers up, so YouTube will get you more organic traffic. And you even talked about you sell in your videos on YouTube too, so once you get that following going, you can release a few videos that actually sell there. So that was huge. And then what I loved is you talked about this autoresponder you create, how you do a few things. The first thing is you welcome them to the community. You talk about how they're part of something. And then you include some social proof. You said not just straight up, not to brag, nothing, but you try to seem like to integrate it, weave it. That's the word I wanted to use, weave. You try to weave it in there kind of tactfully, right? So people can see that there's other people out there and that people like and love and feel good about what you're doing. So that's a great thing as well. And then after that, this was a real key. After they've been indoctrinated, after this stuff has gone on, after you've given them some free stuff, you segment them based on the active group and the inactive group. And the active group are people who have clicked on stuff, they've done, so they've engaged with your content and you know it. And these people, you send them offers really quickly, right away, and you find that these ones convert way better. And in fact, if you're accurate, you're saying like the other one, like only 5-8% of the inactives ever convert. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I said about maybe 20% at the most. It would be 20% of those people, and at the most, on an average, it'd probably be even less than 5%, maybe 2 or 3%.
Right. So the inactives aren't converting at all. But the active people, those ones, will convert at a higher rate and they'll convert faster.
Right. Exactly. And again, that's, if you look at it in the span of 6 months, it'll be, like I said, 2 or 3% of the inactives. But man, you can get as much as 30 to 40% of the actives, you know what I mean?
Right,
the people
right.
who become customers. Because they've gone through, and it depends on, again, how you switch them up. But we put them through really rigor. You have to make it to an active, you really have to been engaged. And that's the key. You really have to have been engaged. And the other, so like I said, most of the people, only about, our highest has been 28% are active. And that means 72% of the people that come to this funnel get placed in inactive. So that's a, you know, that's a pretty big, big separation.
Oh, it is. But I mean, that's still, you're still, that's crushing it. I mean, you're doing like, it's working for you like gangbusters. So that's the thing. That's what people get. It's like with the direct mail. People are like, oh, that doesn't work. You know, I'm like, well, direct mail, you know, 1% is a big win. If you put out, you know, 100,000 pieces of direct mail in the mail and you get a 1% response, that's usually a big win. You know, even above that. So it sounds like, again, you've been doing it really well. And I love that you're segmenting people. That's just huge. Because again, you're not going to invite grandma to go drinking with you unless grandma's your drinking buddy. So it just makes
exactly.
sense.
Exactly.
So got
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And so like, it all factors in where your traffic's coming from. You know, like I said, the highest we've gotten was like 20%, but that was very, very, that was actually from YouTube organic. And so we separated those people. So those, and I was going to say, YouTube organic is the highest converting traffic you're going to get. I don't care what you do. YouTube organic kills every other traffic source. If they watch your YouTube video and they're a subscriber and they sign up, those are your buyers. And those are going to be your best buyers because they're the most indoctrinated people in your entire list. And I found that in three different businesses all across the world. I mean, their conversion rates are through the roof. Organic traffic, not paid, not the YouTube that you
right,
buy,
right, right.
but people who just naturally are already your followers.
Daniel, you've given such great advice, man. You gave great tips. You literally have spelt out how to build a business like this, you know, nuts to bolts, can of soup to nuts, up to even just making your sales video. Made it really simple, really easy, just to get out. Really, people just need to get out there and do it. Is there anything I should have asked you that I didn't ask you?
That's a funny question. Should have asked me. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to condense that all these years into an hour, but. you know, I've been and let me tell people too, I know everybody has different businesses. I also had a successful t-shirt company as well, and we use these methods. So don't think that, like, a lot of times I think people think, well, how does that fit in my business? But building a relationship with your clients fits in any business.
Uh-huh.
Right? Getting to know people, to know and trust you fits in any business. It doesn't matter what business you're in. People do business with they know and trust. So you can apply video marketing your way in your business some kind of way, and I guarantee you it'll give you a certain return. And also I'll say this, and this is my other listeners, I think you'll get, is people really feel like they're boring, or they're not, they get scared to get in on the camera. You know, that's just a big common thing that I found. I say just do it, and I do 100 videos. That's when I partner with people and they do videos for us, I make them do 100 videos. Just knock out 100 videos. Even if you don't put it out, you'll get so good at just being a natural on video. And that skill, man, you'll make so much money just from having the skill to be able to turn a camera on and say your idea clearly and sell and do things like that on video, that just doing 100 videos, that's like the I find that's like the mark. Once you get past 100, you become a natural. And you just, it just comes out of you. Just like you with your podcast, right? Now you're like a natural. You've done so many hours of this stuff that you, off the top of your head, you can really flow. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's anything. It's like, it's just a skill. You know, I have my favorite quote. It's about mastery, you know, and hey, this is something that might be, that's kind of interesting. So first of all, I'm kind of combining issues, but you're right. You know, everyone knows the rule of 10,000 hours, or they may have heard it. There's a book, Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called Blink. And it's talking about expertise and how to be world-class, and that scientists have discovered there's no prodigal child. There's no natural who just is born innate and has this great innate, intrinsic ability to do something really, really well. Found that no matter what, to become world-class at something, generally speaking, you need 10,000 hours of practice. Once you've got 10,000 hours, sure, your natural style will come out among others that have got their 10,000 hours. But for the and this has been a dirty secret in martial arts forever. If I've been training, I got 1,000 hours of training, and you come in, you got 10 hours of training, I'm going to mop the floor with you, right? Because I've just got more hours. It's just, that's how it goes. But what's not so common knowledge is there was a TED Talk I watched where a guy was doing the research, and he's like, but how much does it take to learn the fundamentals? Like, if you want to get into something, everything's got a fundamental. There's usually not like 30 different skills you need to do stuff. There's usually like 3 to 6, maybe 8 at most. You know, it's just a handful of fundamentals. That's why they're fundamentals. And the fundamentals are usually can take you from a beginner through the intermediate stage and even have you doing advanced things. But the one thing you can't do is the intermediate and advanced stuff without the fundamentals in place. So this TED Talk was about like, how long does it take to learn the fundamentals of any skill? And the answer is 20 hours. It takes 20 hours to learn the fundamentals of any skill. If you wanted to take up ballet, you wanted to become a gymnast, do you want to take up jazz, it'll take you 20 hours of focused practice on a specific skill to master it at a basic level. And then, of course, is the ROI of returns. So once you start getting higher up, you have to put in more hours to get any progress, right? But that's where you get the biggest learning curve as a beginner. So I love what you said, because you're like, by the time you've done 100 videos, you probably put in 10 plus hours into just thinking about it and planning it and doing that. And, you know, that's why you say at that point, they're natural. So I love that. That's a great, great, great tip. Daniel, if people have loved, they just love your vibe, they love your feel, they want to know more about you, they want to touch and feel and get to know you even better and get involved with what you're doing, what are some of the best places they can reach out to you at?
They can email me. Now, let me preface it with, you know, I mean, I do niche businesses, right? I'm in a niche, so I'm really not in the marketing field, you know, so I have nothing to say. I mean, to preface it with, I have nothing to sell you guys. So if you honestly just want marketing advice or whatever, you can email me. My email is P-O-S-T-M-A-N. That's Postman. That's what they call me in my marketplace. Postman T1228 at gmail.com. And, again, if you just want to talk business or talk marketing, you know, you need some help or some advice. Like I said, I don't have any products in the internet marketing space or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So you can feel comfortable and confident that, you know, you can just email me and become a friend.
I love it, man. Daniel, you've been a great friend over the years. I always love talking to you. You always got tons of great advice. You connect me with amazing people. And I'm so happy for you and the missus and your new beautiful daughter. Yeah, man, it's just been an honor and a pleasure to come up with you. So thank you again for coming on and sharing with the listeners. I know they appreciate it too. And yeah, man, all the best to you and your family.
Oh, you too, man. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
You've reached the end of our interview. Now, first, let me thank you for listening. I appreciate and respect you more than you'll ever know. And now I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. First, what 3 lessons did you just learn? What 3 aha moments just jumped out at you? Second, what can you implement for yourself and your business in the next 24 hours? Third, what can you give to someone else to help you with or give to them to just do it for you? Whatever it is, remember, taking action is the secret sauce to results. Now, if you think this interview would be helpful for a friend, please give them a link to it. It'll help them and it'll help me too. I'd also like to invite you to help me find out more about the challenges you're facing, your dreams, your goals, and how I can help you overcome what's holding you back. We both do better when we know better, and your success is my success. So please reach out and interact. You can visit our website, bestbusinesscoach.ca for Canada or California, where I'm from and where I'm living. You're welcome to also try out one of our paid programs. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and pretty much every other social media channel you can think of. You should also subscribe to the podcast. And if you're enjoying them, please leave us a nice review. It really helps. That's all for now. Once again, thank you. Take care of yourself. And remember, the world needs the best business you can build. And I believe in you.